Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. We're doing a special podcast this week because a number of people have expressed concern for me. Isn't that nice? A concern for my safety. And I love it. And why are they concerned? Well, because I believe that I'm going to get a chance, finally, to go back to one of my favorite places on the planet, to the nation of Israel. Not the modern nation, but the place where Jesus walked is my interest in it. And there's the rumor going around that I'll be headed back there here in about, 45 days or so. And people have been concerned because, hey, you know, there's a war going on over there. And what are you doing going over there? And also, we have a number of people interested in going on pilgrimages in the year 2026. And people are saying, you know, I don't know if we should be going. There's a war happening there. Are you aware of that fact, Pastor Scheich? Have you been living under a rock or what's going on? So I thought I would answer those questions and reassure people of the opportunities. In fact, surprisingly, maybe this will surprise you, that this is the perfect time to go to Israel. And I want to explain to you why that is. So I certainly get that if you listen to the news, which I'm hoping you do, and don't know the geography, don't know the history, don't know more than just what the news tells us about what's going on over there, I certainly get the concern. And that makes perfect sense to me. But I want to explain to you why it is that I'm not very concerned about going over there. And Melinda is not concerned about me coming back. She wants me back, and she thinks I'll be back, in fact. So that's why she's okay with me going over there. And so we're both certainly okay with encouraging people to go to Israel in 2026. So let me do that. Let me put some, I'll put, for watching, if you're watching on YouTube, which I'd recommend, but if you're not, you can imagine it. I'll put some maps on the screen and kind of go over the current geography there in the Middle East. Or if you've recently taken world geography in high school with my my son who teaches world geography, he could probably draw this map on a napkin and knows it even better than I do in terms of what countries are where in the Middle East. I don't know all the countries, but I know the relevant ones to taking a trip to Israel. So here's a map I put on the screen, and this is a zoomed out map so you get a sense of the big picture. The reason I have this map is because it includes both Israel toward the left-hand side of the map, right on the Mediterranean Sea, and it includes Iran, which is the major problem in the Middle East is centered in the country of Iran. So this will give you a sense of the distance from Israel to Iran. I think it's a couple thousand miles or so. Depends where you're going in Iran, because it's a huge country. But nevertheless, it's a long ways away, and yet Iran is behind the troubles in the Middle East, the current troubles in the Middle East. Been troubles in the past, there'll be different troubles in the future, but for right now, Iran's behind it. So you get the sense of the distance, all right? What I want to do, and we'll get to Iran in a moment in terms of what's transpired over the past, a year and a half now or so, a little more than that, since October 7th of 2023. But let's go take a look at a closer, a more zoomed in part of the map so that I can explain to you what's gone on since October 7th of 2023, which is when most people became aware of the war in the Middle East, and that started on October 7th, 2023. So we'll take the war as it came about and as Israel began to deal with some of the problems, okay? And we'll go through the different areas of problems. And by the end, what I want you to pick up on is that it is as safe as it's ever been to be in the nation of Israel, to be within the borders of Israel, which is where I'm going, which is where I'm encouraging people to go in 2026. Not only is it as safe as it's ever been to go to Israel, but it's as safe as it perhaps ever will be to go to Israel. So check that out. That might be very surprising to you. You might think I'm off my rocker, but stay with me and you'll see why I'm saying that. All right. Now, in the Middle East, since 1948, the creation of the Nation of Israel, we'll start there. The Middle East has functioned kind of like a boxing match, only more dangerous. In a boxing match, the bell rings and the fighters come out to fight. And then I think it's 3 minutes. I don't follow boxing because I don't really like the sport. But anyway, I think it's 3 minutes later, another bell rings and the boxers go back to their corners. And they're very safe in their own corners. And then the next bell rings and they come out to fight. And then the next bell rings, they go back to their corners. So what happened on October 7th, 2023 is the big bell rang. The big bell rang. And the whole area around Israel was thrown into a big conflagration. The boxing match was on to the death. What happened when the United States just recently bombed the nuclear reactors and the nuclear spots, those three different places in Iran, is that the next bell rang and the last most fierce boxer in the Middle East went back to his corner. So the second bell has rung. We are between rounds here, to use the boxing analogy. And as soon as the second bell rings is the best time to go out into the ring, right? Because nobody's fighting anymore. They're back in their corners. Now, I'll share with you, it's not totally true that nobody's fighting anymore, but the fighting that's going on is not within the borders of the Nation of Israel. So let me go through it, all right? And you'll perhaps see what I mean. On October 7th, of 2023, Hamas, which is the ruling the government of Gaza, the Gaza Strip. On this map, you'll see the Gaza Strip noted online, and it's a small strip of land on the Mediterranean. It is it's a gorgeous piece of property, but it has been destroyed by Hamas, who was elected to lead Gaza in 2007. So almost 18 years ago. Hamas was elected to lead Gaza. They are a Sunni, we won't get into the difference here, but Sunni Muslim group, an Islamist group, and their stated goal is to displace Israel, to kill every Jew they can from the river to the sea. You might have heard that phrase, from the Jordan River to the sea. So Hamas invaded Israel, the southern towns and kibbutzes right around what's called the Gaza envelope, right along the Gaza Strip, within a couple of kilometers of the Gaza Strip. So not all of Israel, but within a couple kilometers. And they, of course, were sending rockets and stuff further into Israel, even if they could, up to Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. Didn't really affect Jerusalem and Tel Aviv very much at all. But this was the wake-up call for Israel. They had hoped to live side by side in peace with Hamas, particularly because so many Gazans came across the border every day into Israel to work and then earn money and took the money back into Gaza. They had hoped that that they would be able to sustain peace that way. They found out that that did not work. Those very same border towns that and kibbutzes that employed so many Palestinians coming in from Gaza, it was those communities that were destroyed, that were shot up, where so many were killed, murdered mercilessly, and from which the hostages were taken. It was those communities around Gaza that believed that peace was possible with Palestinians. Okay, they would be considered the far left, the people that live there, the far left of the political spectrum, if you will. So since that time, Israel has been at war with Hamas in Gaza. Now, where has the war taken place? For the first, week or so, it took place in Gaza, but also in Israel, because Israel had to go find all those Hamas members and those who were not Hamas members who had come across the border. They had to go find them and kill them all. And within a week or two, Israel did that. And the war effectively at that point was no longer in Israel in terms of a ground war. Okay. So aside from that first week or two after October 7th, there has been no ground war in the borders of Israel. Were you aware of that from the news? Probably not. What has been happening since October 7th in Israel is rocket fire from Hamas into Israel. And we'll talk later about the country in the green on top, Lebanon, where Hezbollah is, rocket fire from Hezbollah into Israel, and so forth. We'll get to all those other places in a minute, but let's stick with Hamas. Fairly quickly, within a month or two, Hamas was no longer firing any significant rockets into Israel. So let's say by the end of 2023, roughly, I didn't look up the exact dates, but there was not rocket fire coming from Hamas into Israel because Israel had gone in, the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, had gone in, the Israeli Air Force, IAF, had gone in and really depleted and destroyed most of Hamas's ability to fire rockets into Israel. So there have been some during early 2024, into the middle of 2024, some. But basically, I would say for the past 12 months, since the middle of 2024, there has been maybe, I don't know, a rocket or two a month. And of late, last few months, no rockets coming in because Hamas has been so decimated. So essentially, you are perfectly safe walking along the border between Israel and Gaza, as long as you stay on the Israeli side. And now Israel has established a buffer zone into Gaza. I heard just today, it's all the way along between Israel and Gaza. There's a 2 kilometer, and in many places much further, that has been completely flattened, completely leveled, and it's a buffer zone now. Anybody goes in there, Israeli Defense Forces will kill them. So it is completely safe at this point to be in Israel on the Israeli side of the Israeli-Gaza border. Does that make sense? So the fighting that's still going on is the Israeli Defense Forces in Gaza. They now occupy fully 70% of the Gaza Strip. And what is prolonging this war, we'll get back to at the end of the podcast. But what's prolonging the war are the 50 remaining hostages that Hamas and other smaller groups hold within Gaza. Okay, we'll get back to that at the end of the podcast. I hope I remember to do that. All right. What were some other dangers in Israel during this time? Well, after October 7th, Hamas hoped that Hezbollah in the north, in Lebanon, they've really kind of taken over the country at that point, and the country was no longer really ruled by the Lebanese themselves, but ruled by Hezbollah because they had the weapons. Hezbollah did not join the war completely. They just fired annoying rockets, more than annoying for the people who lived in northern Galilee, so along the border in the north of Israel. Israel eventually, I forget when this was, I think maybe October of 24, possibly, I'm not sure, I forget when, but you have might have heard of the pager attacks against Hezbollah. It's a brilliant plan. Pagers and then walkie-talkies, I think, all started blowing up in the hands of the Hezbollah leaders. Israel has basically, to make a long story short, eliminated the Hezbollah leadership in Lebanon, where they were an occupying force, essentially. And Hezbollah is no longer firing rockets into the north of Israel. It's perfectly safe to live in the north of Israel now. Okay, it's wonderful. The Israeli army did such a great job, and they were able to do such a great job in part because there were no hostages being held in Lebanon. So they didn't have to worry about preserving the lives of hostages. Now the Lebanese army has taken over the land in Lebanon. Yay, that's great. They don't want war with Israel, the Lebanese army. So what I have drawn on this map, the little black line within the green of Lebanon, is the Litani River. And Israel, the IDF, Israeli Defense Forces, controls the land south of the Litani River and basically has said to Lebanon, you can control this land, but any weapons we see here from Hezbollah, we will destroy. We will not allow any Hezbollah weapons south of the Litani River. It becomes a buffer zone, essentially. And so you'll hear in the news, in fact, I think even last night, Israeli Air Force going in and destroying weapons depots, or they find one Hezbollah member, they'll knock him out south of the Litani River. They refuse to have Hezbollah south of the Litani River. So What that means is it essentially becomes safe in Israel in the north. There's no fighting in Israel in the north and no rocket fire coming into Israel from the north. Now, let's move over to Syria, just next to Lebanon. Syria was ruled by the Assad family for many, many years and was a thorn in Israel's side. Israel took the Golan Heights, and so that's in orange here on this map. They already took the Golan Heights years ago in 1967. You may know that the Assad family was kicked out of Syria by rebels in Syria who used to be ISIS. Now they claim they're not ISIS. They wear suits. We'll see whether a leper can change its spots. But what's happening is when the Assad family was kicked out of Syria by this formerly ISIS guy who now says he's straightened out his ways and put on a suit, Israel went in at that very moment and destroyed all the weapons depots in Syria that belonged to Assad that were a threat to Israel before. So now Israel again occupies a portion of Syria along the Israeli border. I think it's about 10 kilometers or so. So what would that be, about 6 or 7 miles? Within Syria, Israel has said there will be no weapons that close to Israel ever again. Never again will this happen. And so the Israeli army right now occupies that land. I think they'll withdraw at some point as they receive assurances from the new government in Syria. We want to get along. And that ceasefire will last quite some time, I think. So again, the Golan Heights becomes extremely, very, very safe. Are you seeing what's happening here? Israel safe in the south by Gaza, safe in the north by Lebanon, safe in the northeast by Syria. Jordan and Israel have a peace treaty that's signed. So that whole side of the Hashemite kingdom of Jordan has a peace treaty with Israel. So no issues there, okay? In the West Bank of Israel, so that's Israel, but not Israel. Israel calls it Judea and Samaria. Palestinians call it the West Bank. That's disputed territory. There are challenges there in the West Bank with groups that want to cause trouble. It's ruled by the Palestinian Authority in parts. It's very, very complex. I would have to take a whole video to tell you about that. Nevertheless, there's some incidents between settlers, they're called. Some Israelis don't call them settlers, but whatever, between Jews and Palestinians in the West Bank. But nothing of any greater significance than at any other time in the last 50 years. So essentially, no problems there. The remaining problem was Iran. And so when Israel, and Iran's the issue, when Israel sent for 12 days, had the 12-day war with Iran, and then and the United States got involved just a little bit, just enough with those B-2s, with the bunker buster bombs that were designed, amazingly, 15 years it took to design those and get those ready to do what they did, to knock out Iran. Iran has been knocked out, essentially, for a while, and not forever. They're going to come back, but not this year, not next year. It's going to be a little while, a couple of years away, probably. So what that means is that the enemies of Israel have basically been knocked out, here's the exceptions. In Gaza, we still have Hamas running around, and because of that, the Houthis, which are down, I don't even have them on the map, they're so far away, down south of Saudi Arabia. So let's see, this map here shows Saudi Arabia in the bottom right-hand corner. South of Saudi Arabia is a small country called Yemen, and the Houthis are an Islamist group that have taken over parts of Yemen, and the Houthis are firing rockets sometimes, missiles, at Israel from time to time. Israel, I think only one has gotten through, I think, if I'm correct about that. But Israel shoots them down. But they are like a nuisance. I think the missiles have maybe killed one or two people out of 11 million in Israel. So what's your chances? Better chance of being struck by lightning, probably. And the Houthis will stop once Israel continues to deal with them, but once the Gaza war stops. So what is stopping the war in Gaza? What is hindering prolonging the war in Gaza? Here's what's prolonging the war in Gaza. I told you I'd get back to that. What's prolonging it is there's no way out, because Israel has said we will not end the war until Hamas goes. And Hamas has said we will not go. until the last man dies. It's an impasse, and Israel cannot really go in and eliminate Hamas because Hamas is holding Jews as hostages. And if Israel were to fully go in and eliminate Hamas, they would kill their own Jewish hostages. They don't want to do that. What really needs to happen at this point, the strong man has to back down. It's the only way for it to end. Israel, I don't know how this can possibly happen, but Israel has to back down and say, we're going to stop the war so we can get the hostages out, all of them. And then, well, there's 20 living and about 30 dead right now left in Gaza. We're going to get them all out and stop the war. Hamas has said we won't stop the war. We won't let the hostages free until you stop the war. They're going to have to stop the war and let Hamas still be there. Then the first rocket that Hamas creates or makes, the first time they fire a gun over the border, then when there's no hostages in Gaza, Israel's going to have to go back in and finish the job. It's the only way for it to end. And yet, and I think polls in Israel are now starting to show that's what Israelis want to have happen. The challenge is that, well, it's beyond the scope of this video, is that the Israeli government will fall if they do that, because there's pieces of the Israeli government that literally want to go in and finish off Hamas, even if it means killing the hostages. They never say that, but that's their view. Trust me. So, point I'm making in this is, why in the world would you go to Israel now? You'd go to Israel now because within the confines of Israel, as long as you don't go into Gaza, it is very safe. It is as safe as it will ever be. 3-4 years from now, Iran will have rearmed and we could be back at it again. But right now, this is the time to go. It's the time to go, people. That's why I'm going over. Now, could something happen? I would hope that you would think my answer would be yes. I mean, something can always happen, right? We are never guaranteed safety in this life. A person I love once said, and I agree with them, safe means never. I run a great risk driving from my home to the office because I drive down a road where I've seen a lot of deer run across. And I know one of those deer could be running across the road and go through my windshield. It could happen. You might hear of it someday. Or other risks on the road. But I know that one's a legit risk that nobody's controlling. There's not like a stoplight. These deer cross the road at any given time. And it's going to get worse in the fall. Safe means never. I would never come to work. But then again, if I sat at home, I'd be unsafe as well for other reasons. It's possible that I will go to Israel in a couple of weeks or months or whatever, and something will happen to me. I know that's possible. I believe, based on what I've just told you, that the risk is so small, so minute, that I'm willing to go. I'm excited to go. And if you're considering going to Israel, just understand what's going on here. The risk right now, it's the best time to go. And I've tried to describe for you logically why that is. I hope that makes sense to you. If you start reading Israeli news every day, which I do, you'll read of a terrorist incident here or a terrorist incident there. And the reason they make the news is because there's so few of them. I would imagine if you live in Chicago, shootings in South Chicago don't make the news because they're happening all the time. That'd be the whole, everything on the news would be shootings in South Chicago. A shooting in Lincoln makes the news. Why? Well, is Lincoln more dangerous? No, Lincoln's less dangerous because we have fewer shootings. And so when it happens, it makes the news. And we go, oh my goodness, there's a shooting in Lincoln. It's less dangerous, though, than south side of Chicago because the shootings make the news here. And so terrorist incidents right now are making the news in Israel every once in a while because they're so infrequent. And they happen almost exclusively, 100%, they happen involving Palestinians and Jews, not tourists. They don't happen. In a typical year, not right now, but in a typical year, 2 million tourists or so visit Israel, and all of them are fine. I don't know how else to explain it. It's safe to visit Israel right now. Is it 100% guaranteed safe? No, it never will be. It's not 100% guaranteed to walk down the road. But that's the deal. That's what we got for you. So anyway, I wanted to share that with you to reassure you that this is why I'm going now. It's why I'm encouraging others to go now. It's safe. It's okay. So hope you can join us sometime in Israel. Put it on your bucket list. Again, thanks for watching the podcast, getting through it all, understanding what's going on there. Write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. If you want to join us in Israel, write me, and we'll get you set up to go to Israel with us in 2026. Remember that those who hope on the Lord will renew their strength and soar on wings like eagles. Thanks for joining us in the podcast today.